I love to hear good news, and I love when I get to be the one to share the good news. For over a year now, you have heard me speak about the Manna Center. You have heard me speak about this many, 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 many times. Manna was what God used to provide for the Israelites when he took them out of slavery, and he said, I'm going to provide for you every single day. And so every day, without fail, God provided them manna. He provided them a way. And so we've prayed, and one time I was on my way to Branson, and I was actually back from Branson, and I was praying, and God began to speak to me, and he said, Kelly, I'm going to put a center for your food ministry right on your property. And I said, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do that, because you know everything, Lord. And he just began to place that in my heart. And he said, you're going to call it the Manna Center, because, Kelly, I'm going to provide. I'm going to provide for your ministry. I'm going to provide. And I want to tell you that after a year-long process, Parish Christian Center applied for a grant. And I heard on Monday somebody called me with that, and they said, Pastor Kelly, are you having a good day? And I said, yes, I hope you're not going to ruin it for me. they said, are you having a great day? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, sit down. We want to make your day even greater. And I said, okay. And they said, that Manna Center is on the way. That Manna Center is on the way. And she said, out of every place that applied for that grant, Pastor Kelly, God gave that to Parish Christian Center. Amen. Can y'all stand and give God some praise? Amen. Now, I know y'all can do better than that. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I want to minister to you today. God never told you you would not go through adversity. God never told you that some things would not get hard. I'm going to tell you, I'm living proof. Things get hard. There are things that happen that you do not understand. There are trials that you face that you feel darn well they're going to just take you out. But I want to tell you that God, when I have you stand every single Sunday, God has made you to be able to stand. Nothing else. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to stand. You wouldn't even have breath in your lungs to be able to breathe this day. And I want to tell you that you know what? God will make a way. God will make a way. When men would tell you no, when circumstances would tell you no, God will tell you yes. God will say, yeah, a couple weeks ago, I was in a conversation with somebody, and they said, well, so-and-so bought this building. And at that time, I was thinking, well, we wanted to buy this building, and we didn't get the building. And then there were some other things that didn't come through. And I kind of pondered that in my heart, and I heard that another place bought that building, and they're going to do some amazing things in that place. And I kind of got a little sour. How many of you, sometimes you get a little sour when you hear about somebody else's success? Well, thank you for all the honest folks. And God began to minister to me, and he said, Kelly, learn how to handle other people's successes. Learn how to sit on the sideline and be happy for somebody else and knowing that your time is coming. And God dealt with me all that day. And finally I called that person and I said, I want to thank you for what you're doing for our community. And I just wanted you to know that I'm praying for that place that you're going to have ministry out of. God's going to bless it. God's going to do it in a supernatural way. And it wasn't too longer that I got my call. And I want to tell you, whatever you're believing God for, keep believing God for it. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because here's the thing, them people had to buy that building. Amen. God bought the Manna Center. He bought it and he paid for it. So there are times where things happen in your life that you do not understand, but you know what? You'll understand them by and by. Amen. I want to pray for my niece, Bella. Sweetheart, come up here. Bella is Aunt Kel's pride and joy. She's my little sweetheart, just turned 13 years old, and Bella is having an issue with allergic reactions. I want to have my youth pastors come up here. This place, first and foremost, is always a place of prayer. And Gary and Michelle, I just want you to lay your hands on this girl. and just tell this infirmity to come off of her once and for all. Amen. Y'all help us pray. Well, welcome everyone to Parish Christian Center. I'm Pastor Kelly Kitson. If you're joining me live today, I want to tell you that, yes, you have gotten a hold of a crazy blonde chick that likes to preach about God. I'm not politically correct. I'll probably say something that you think, oh, did she just say that? Yes, I did. I am going to minister this morning to you, and the title of my message is, Who Am I to You, God? Who am I to you, God? There are times in our lives where we go through things, and most of what we go through involves other people. There are things that happen, and circumstances and situations are held up or affected because of others. And at times, those situations leave us feeling like we were, maybe somebody didn't care about us the way that we thought that they should. Maybe somebody let us down. Maybe somebody betrayed us. Maybe just situations just happened in a way that you never foresaw that they would happen. And at times that leaves us feeling like, who am I? Who am I to you, God? Lord, am I still important? God, am I still, where does this leave me? And there are things that go on in our lives, situations and battles, where it leaves us at a point where we just need to know who we are. We need to know who we are. And I want to tell you, if you don't hear anything else in this message today, I want to tell you that God loves you so much. If you don't hear anything else in this message this morning, I want you to know that God cares about you. It is very important that you understand that God is not mad at you. God is not mad at you. God is not looking for ways to make your life miserable. If you think that you've gone too far, you have not gone too far. If you're stuck in a mud puddle and you're saying, Daddy God, every time I don't want to do this, I keep finding myself in the middle of doing something that I really don't want to do, but I have a problem. I want to tell you that God is right there in that moment. God will come to you. I've been in church my whole life. And I've heard God preached in many different types of ways. I've heard God preached in a mean way, like he was a mean God. And I've been in services where he was preached accurately. And so let this always be a place where we preach about who God really is. And God loves you this morning. God loves you, and he wants you to know who you are. And so this morning I'm going to minister about who you are. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 12. It is so important that we know how much we mean to God, that we know how much that we mean to him. You mean a whole lot to him. Amen. Amen. We are in Deuteronomy chapter 28. We are looking at verse 12. Thank you, Kimber. We'll see if that little mama can be able to enjoy the service. Children, do not bother me. I hope that they don't bother you. If they do, there's something wrong with you. No, we're not preaching about what's wrong with you today. I would have to start on myself and we'd be here all day. But we're in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and we're in verse 12. And we're talking about, what do we mean to God? Have you ever been in something and you thought, getting out of it, did I ever mean anything to that person? You ever feel like that? Do you think, did I ever mean anything to that place? I've been in jobs before. I've been in relationships before where they mess you up so bad that you come out of that and you say, did I not mean anything? Was I not good enough? Was I not enough? And so what is the most important thing in our Christianity is the fact that, Sherry, we got to know how much we mean to God. Because there's so many things devaluing us and making us feel like we're not worth anything. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we're going to look at verse 12, and it says here, The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And I want to tell you something right now. What do you mean to God? What are you to God? You are the head and not the tail. You are above only. When anything else contradicts that, you need to take that thought and you need to hold it captive and you need to tell that thought to line up with the word. Because see, God's not calling you less than. God's calling you the head and not the tail. He says you are above. What are you above? Every single thing that would ever try to take you down. Are there times in your life where you go through things and you think they're going to take you down or they're going to affect you? Yes. Yes, they are. And I want to reiterate here today that feelings are not facts. Hello. Feelings are not facts. Why? Because feelings will come and go. You may feel one way one minute and get a call the next minute and feel a totally different way. I've had that happen many times with my children's schools. I'd be having a perfect day. They call me up. Well, Carson Paul's doing this automatically. I don't like to hear negative things about my kids because it makes me realize I'm going to have to correct them. I don't like to correct my children because I realize I'm going to have to be very creative on how I do that. Because whatever he did, I ain't got it. He used to could just look at us and we'd stop whatever we were doing. My kids are like, why does mom have that weird look on her face? What is that? Dad would just look and he would snap his fingers and we'd stop dead in our tracks right there and we'd quit whatever we were doing. That doesn't work with me. I need some more of that children anointing because I ain't got it. But it says here, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. I want to tell you that God would have you to be always at the top and never at the bottom. Am I saying that there are times where you're going to be where you're not going to be on the top? Probably. Do you want me to sit up here with a violin and tell you fables, or do you want me to tell you the truth? There's going to be times that situations come up, and they're going to try to knock you down. But Lindsay, here's the thing. God's always looking to put us at the top. He's always looking. Now, you may have to sit there and wait. You may have to do what I did and watch other people succeed when you thought it was your time to succeed. And God says, now just hold on a minute. See? What do you want to do, Kelly? Do you want to buy the building or do you want to have me buy it? What do you want to do at that situation? So we have to learn how to wait, and we have to learn that we are the head and not the tail despite the circumstance. Despite the circumstance. There are times where your circumstance isn't going to look good, but stop looking at what it looks like. Do you ever scroll through Facebook and realize it's all fake? I think about 95% of what's on Facebook is fake. And I get on Facebook at times, and I look and I scroll through and I see people arguing on Facebook, and I'm going, this is the craziest thing. But then I keep looking. Because it's like, where else are you going to find that kind of free entertainment? What's wrong with people? They'll just say whatever on Facebook, and then you'll see them in the grocery store, and they're going like this because they don't want to tell you what they called you. People are looking at me like, she's gone to meddling. I'm going to get back on track. So God says that you're the head and that you're not the tail. So the Lord will make you. It says here, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. There are so many times in the middle of your situation that you're looking at others to make you or to break you. Look here, the only person that can make you is God. It says the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Nobody else. See, when you're worried about your enemy or you're worried about this place or that place or this person or that person or this problem over here and this problem over there, see, God is the only one that has the ability to make you the head. He's the only one that can say, now this person right here is above. They're above only. They're the head and not the tail. God's the only one that can make you that. So when you're asking God, Lord, what do I mean to you? What am I to you? We need to turn that question over and we need to make it a fact. Lord, you said in your word that I am the head and not the tail. So God, although it may look right now that I may be coming up short in this situation, Lord, I know and I trust full well that you're going to make up the difference, that you're going to turn this around, that you're going to make it better than I was before. Let's go now to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 10. We put way too much stock in others esteeming us and validating us. This can only come from God, so let's regain some perspective on that. There's too many things that we think about what others think about us. I was talking with someone the other day about problems. How many of you know everybody has problems? Okay. I'm no different than you. I have problems too. And I was talking to somebody about my problems. And they said something, and it stuck so deep in me that when I would wake up in the middle of the night, all I could hear was them saying those things to me. Let me tell you something. When you get something stuck in your craw like that, that is an assignment from Satan that's trying to rob you of your rest, that's trying to stress you in the middle of the night, that's trying to get those thoughts to race of, oh my gosh, you know, is this going to be the end of me? How am I going to make it? What am I going to do? All this stuff. See, we live in that world. See, I can't come up here and preach to you about roses and daffodils because we don't live in roses and daffodils all the time. We can live in it sometimes, but that's not real life all the time. I would be a horrible pastor if I didn't preach to you about real stuff. And this person said something to me, and when they said it, I could tell Miss Virginia that was a dart from the enemy coming to rob me of every little bit of peace that I had left. And they said, well, you're just going to be, I'm not going to say it, but you're just going to be another da-da-da-da-da-da-da walking down the road. And I replayed those things in my mind so many times, Lindsay, that I was so robbed of my peace and so robbed of my joy. And Kelly, God spoke to me and he said, Kelly, you're not just a statistic to me. You're a person. And Kelly, you are the head and not the tail. And I want to tell you this morning, if you've lost who you are and you think, who am I? God, what do I mean to you? I want to tell you that you mean the everything to God. You mean everything to him. God isn't mad at you. God's not sitting there looking at a way that he can just make your life more miserable. God's looking for a way to bless you. God's looking for a way. He's looking every possible nook and cranny in your life to make your life better. And I want to speak to you this morning, and I want to tell you that you're never just a statistic to God. You're never just a number to God. You're never just another person to God. God dearly loves you, and he loves you enough to call you his own. He loves you enough to say, I gave my son for these people, and I don't regret it. Somebody ever do something for you, and you could tell that they kind of regretted it? That always makes you feel bad about yourself. Look here, God does not regret you. He loves what he did for you. So Deuteronomy chapter 32, we're going to look at verse 10. And it says here, in a desert land he found him. In a barren and howling waste, he shielded him and he cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. And I want to tell you that number two, what are you to God? What do you mean to God? You're the apple of God's eye. You are the apple of God's eye. I'm going to say it one more time. You are the apple of his eye. And I love this verse because it says here, in a desert land he found him. Not when everything was going good, not when everything was going right, not when everything was just pleasant. No, God will find you when everything's going wrong. God will find you in your worst moment, when you feel like you can't move on, when you feel like you're stuck, when you feel like you don't know what you're going to do, how you're going to move forward. God finds you in those moments. When you feel like you've been a failure, when you feel like, oh my gosh, God finds you in those moments. In that part of the desert, That's where he finds you. And it says, in a barren and howling waste, he shielded him and he cared for him. He shielded him and he cared for him. God wants to shield you and he wants to care for you. And any minister that would ever tell you otherwise about the living God should not be ministering. He wants to shield you and he wants to care for you. What do you mean to God? Everything. Everything. You are the apple of his eye. Now, little side note, because I like to add humor, because you can use humor to do a lot of things, but if you'll use it in the right way, people will understand what you mean. So in the pandemic, how many of you love those wonderful masks? Well, I liked them for several reasons. But one of the things that I liked was that you didn't have to put any makeup on. All they could see was your eyeballs. And so I thought, how can I make my eyeballs the most appealing that they could possibly be? And somebody said, Pastor Kelly, get you some fake eyelashes. And so I went and got them fake eyelashes. And I thought, there is nothing to these. I won't like this. And let me tell you something. Them fake eyelashes have been one of the joys of my life. And if you're feeling bad about yourself, ladies, you need to give them a try. Because there's something about fake eyelashes that will make you just feel like you can handle it. You got it. Now, the only bad thing about fake eyelashes is when they start coming off. Because they're going to touch the apple of your eye, and it's not going to feel good. And the first time they started coming off was when I had gotten myself really worked up. If you're a crier, fake eyelashes are going to be a real trial for you. And my problem is I'm in the people business, and when people cry, I'm going to cry with them. When anybody cries, I'm going to cry with them. If I'm doing a funeral, I was doing a funeral back in the midst of the pandemic when it was all crazy. And I didn't know these people from Adam. And they said, Pastor Kelly, will you bury Mama? I said, sure, I will. Why? I get up there. And they're all crying, obviously. And it hits me. And I start crying about Mama, who I don't know. But I'm all worked up over it because I don't like to see people in pain. I don't care who they are. If they're my worst enemy, I don't like people crying. I want everybody happy. I want the whole school bus happy. And these fake lashes, they started coming off right in the middle of that funeral. And it was about 100 degrees, and I was in the middle of a pasture, and they wanted me to wear a black blazer. It was like July. I was going, oh, my gosh, I am going to please this whole family. And I got the heaviest black blazer I could find. We got up in the middle of that field where they were burying Mama. And them lashes started coming off, about half of them. I mean, that's the deal. When you get half on and half off, that's a bad thing. And it went up in my eyeball. And I started swatting my face. So here I am crying, swatting myself, burning up, and burying Mama all at the same time. And I always think about that experience because I think, you know, when God calls us the apple of his eye, God's not letting anything touch the apple of his eye. He'll swat it out of the way. He'll squash it if he has to. Whatever God has to do, he's going to do that. What do you mean to God? You're the apple of his eye, the closest thing to him. Amen. And so it says, in a desert land he found him, in a barren and howling waste he shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. We are the apple of God's eye when we don't know who we are anymore, when we've been devalued by others, when God finds us in those places and he meets us right where we're at. He will shield you and he will care for you. There are lots of times where we feel very disregarded. We feel very disregarded by others. You're not disregarded by God. There are times where you're going to go through things. I remember one time I was in healthcare before I was in the ministry for 14 years, and I left a job. And when I left there, Mara, I felt like this. I gave those people my youth, basically. I worked for them for 14 years, and I thought to myself, did I mean anything to them? Because when I walked out, I had my head so low because I felt so bad. Because you'd think when you gave somebody 14 years of your life, you'd think that they'd appreciate you. Let me tell you something. When others don't appreciate you, God appreciates you. When people don't see what you're worth, God sees what you're worth. When people throw you away, when they hurt you, when they do things to you that they're not supposed to do, I want to tell you something. There's a God that loves you so much that he wants you to know what you mean to him. What you mean to him. Because there's so many outside factors that's telling you you don't matter. Nobody cares. It's going to always be like this. You're a failure. You'll just be walking down the road and somebody will point you out and they'll say, well, there's just another so-and-so. Look here. Away with that type of thinking. Away with that type of thinking. When this person said this to me, it bothered me so bad. And I went to God and I said, God, who am I? There's battles that you have where they leave you so messed up inside. You need to go to God and you need to ask God, who are you? Who am I, God? And God said, Kelly, the next time you hear anything like that, you tell that person that you're the humanitarian of the year. You tell them that you're the one that feeds people, the one that loves on people. See, you don't need to forget who you are just because somebody else has. You need to remember who you are. Because on your bad days, God doesn't say it's okay to tuck your tail and run. He says when you've done everything that you can do to stand, then all that's left to do is just to stand firm. And it's easier to stand firm when you have a good knowing about who you are to God, what you mean to God. I remember when I was a kid, well, actually, I say I was a kid. I was about 22 years old, and I had an old flip phone. How many of y'all had a flip phone? I wish we could kind of go back to some simpler times sometimes. And I was driving home, and I still lived with my mom and dad, but I was, 22, 23 years old, and I got a text from my dad. And I have it saved in this old Motorola flip phone because it said something that meant something to me. It said, Kelly, I'm going to love you forever. Now, what does the Bible say about parents? Now, you being natural parents, you love your kids so much you do anything for them. How much more do you think that your Heavenly Father, how much more do you think that He loves you? How much more would He do for you? You know, there isn't anything that I wouldn't do for my kids. But Keisha, here's what I know. I can't do everything for them. I can't be there in every moment. I can't be there in every season. I can't make sure that nobody hurts them. I cannot make sure that nobody just breaks their heart. See, I can't do that. Do I want to do it? Yes. If I could physically, feasibly do it, would I do it? Yes. But see, God's loved you from before you were born. He's going to keep on loving you, and He loves you forever. That's never going to change. It's never going to change. You mean something to God. Let's go now to Psalms chapter 139. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14. For you created my inmost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Verse 14, I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. What does God say about you? He says you're wonderful. What else does the Word say about you? He said we are all the workmanship of God. What does God say about His work? He said that it's wonderful. When you don't feel good about yourself, God still says, hey, I feel good about you. When you doubt yourself, God doesn't doubt you. When you make a mistake and you feel like because of that mistake, you can't go on and you can't be something and walk in your calling, look here. God will just give you a platform to be in your calling. God loves you so much. And He says that you're wonderful. He says that you're wonderful and He means it. Do we believe the lies that others say? Do we believe the hurtful things that are spoken over us? Why do we care so much about what other people say and think and do? Why do we care about that so much? Well, I'll tell you why I care about it so much. I can't speak for everyone else, but there's a part of me that wants everyone's approval. Okay? There's a part of me that wants everybody to like me. There's a part of me that wants everybody to agree with me. Who? How many of y'all you love when people agree with you? I'm like, yeah. Let's get them all agreeing. Look here. Here's what I have learned in adulthood. There are going to be times and there's going to be things and there's going to be decisions you make. Ain't nobody going to agree with you. Why? Because they don't understand your situation. There's going to be things that come up and people are going to doubt you. They're going to judge you and they're going to talk about you. Look here, that don't mean that God ain't called you to do what He's told you to do. You can't spend your life worrying what other people think about you and miss what God said about you. You can't waste your life worrying about what people think about you. They're entitled to what they can think. They can think what they want to think. Does not ever take away from what God says about you, though. See, what does God say about you? Well, we've read some things. We've read that we're the head and not the tail. We've read that we are the apple of His eye. We've read that He says that we're wonderful. It's important that you know who you are. How many of you watched The Lion King with your kids about 70 million times? Well, my parents watched it with me about a trillion times. And the main line in that whole, yeah, Mufasa. You got that big daddy lion and he's holding the lion cub up, being all dramatic, and he's saying, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Why is it important that you know who you are? Because look here, there are so many things that's going to pick at you. There are so many things that are going to pick at you. None of those things take away from God's plan for your life. God has a plan. The devil has his plans. We have our plans. And then God has His plans. God has the final say. He has the final say. And because of that, we need to know what it is. What does He say about us and what do we mean to Him? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. And it says here, but now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Yes. In another translation, it says, I've called you. Yes. I have summoned you by name. And you are mine. What do you mean to God? And who does God say that you are? Well, Kayla, we just read it. God says that we belong to Him. Do things in your life ever make you feel like you don't belong anywhere? Have you had those seasons where you feel like, I just don't belong anywhere. I just feel so out of place everywhere I go. Everywhere I turn, I feel like I'm not accepted here or I feel like a failure there. See, we have those seasons in our life where we're kind of shaky of how we feel about ourselves. Look here. You belong. You belong. You belong to Him. He said, I've called you by name and you're mine. I've called you by name and you're mine. Before I ever had Carson Paul, God told me, you're going to have a little boy And before I ever had him, before I ever conceived him, years in advance, I knew that his name was going to be Carson. Why? Because God spoke that to my heart, and I knew that God knew him first. God knows you better than you know yourself. It is so important that you know what you mean to him. You mean everything to him. You mean everything to him. If you've felt bad about yourself here lately, if you've felt defeated, if you've felt like a failure, if you've felt like, why is this happening to me? Look here. Gain some perspective. Look at the glass again and keep looking at it till you see it full. Keep looking at it till you see it full. You know how many times over the past year and a half God's dealt with me about the manna center? Almost every day. God would say, do you see it, Kelly? Do you see it? You got to see some things in the spirit before they ever come up naturally. Do you see it? Are you really committed, Kelly? See, what do you see? What do you see? What I hope you see when you're looking in the mirror at yourself, I hope you're not picking out everything that you hate about yourself. I hope when your deepest thoughts, when you're in your bed at night and you've got problems and you don't know how you're going to work them out, I hope that you know how much that you mean to God. When your heart feels overwhelmed and you don't know how you're going to make it or you don't know what you're going to do, I hope that in the very deepest parts of who you are, you know God's coming through because you mean everything to him. There's too many Christians washing over the very simplest of Christianity, which is this right here. God loves you. Somebody called me from a club. And they said, will you come and speak at this club? I said, I ain't even ever heard of that club. What is that club about? Yeah, I'll speak at it. I'm not going to turn down a speaking opportunity. I like to talk. They said, well, how have you achieved all these things? And I said, well, it's very simple. Two things. They said, it's only two things. I said, yep. The first one is God. It was not me. And second of all, God told me in the beginning of my pastorship, Kelly, if you will just love people, I will do the rest. I will do the rest. Why did he say that? Well, because loving people is hard sometimes. Why? Because people want to act up. How many of you acted up this week at some point? You thought a mean thought. You said something mean. You told somebody off in your head. You thought something bad about your husband. You wanted to tell your wife off. You didn't like the new rules at the Harps or whatever. I mean, whatever it is. You had some mean old thought in your head. Look here. God knows you so well, but there are some things about God that you have to know, and you have to know what you mean to him. You have to know it. You have to know it because when it gets hard, you need to recall those things. You need to recall them. You know how many times that I went to God and I said, God, what are you going to do for us? What are you going to do about this? Lord, look here. There was one day I was outside, and every part of my body was soaking wet, dealing with that food outside in the rain. And I did not want to be there that day. It happens. Miss Sherry was looking at me, and I was just drenched. It was like 20 degrees, and it was raining. God said, Kelly, do you still want the manna center? I said, yes, Daddy God, I sure do. But God, if you don't do it, or if you're telling me it's going to take a little bit longer, I'm going to still be right here doing what you told me to do. Yes, why? You, because I know who you are, God. I know how important this ministry is to the people that have food on their table because you provided it. So God, whether the manna center comes today, whether it comes next year, or whether it comes in 10 years, God, I know what you said, and I know what it means to you. And because it means so much to you, I'm going to sit out here in this rain, and we're going to help these people. We're going to feed this community, and we're going to keep on being sweet, and we're going to keep on loving people. We're going to keep on giving people hope. Why? Because at the end of this whole thing called life down here, you're not taking your house. You're not taking your dog. You're not taking your belongings. The only thing that you're taking up out of here is souls that you've won. That's it. That's it. Nothing else. There's nothing else that you can take out of this life besides souls. That's why God says, now go and be disciples. Go win souls. Because that's how much we mean to him. He wants us all up there with him. Let's go to John 15 and verse 16. And it says here, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Love each other. Now I'm going to break that verse down. You did not choose me. You did not choose me. There was a time in every person's life that they didn't choose God. And regardless of whatever the scenario was, God chose them. God chose them. I was saying to myself the other day, how could so-and-so treat me like that? Have you ever said that? Have you ever been hurt by the way somebody treated you? Have you ever been disappointed in humanity? It's easy to do. Kayla, I was telling God all about it. I said, how could they not choose me? God said, Kelly, get off of that. I chose you. I chose you. I chose you. How important are you to God? What do you mean to God? He chose you. He chose you. And he loves you. He chose you. Debbie, on our days where we're not feeling it, he chose us. There are times where we say, God, why me? Look here. Stop asking God, why you? And say, God, thank you that you chose me. Lord, you chose me to go through this valley. You chose me to go through this battle. Okay, God. Thank you for the grace that you're pouring out on it. Because, God, I'm going to walk through it. And, God, when I walk through every critic, every enemy, I'm going to walk right past them. That's right. Amen. Why? Because, Lord, I mean that much to you, that you helped me and you gave me the grace to do that. See, what do you mean to God? What do you mean to him? I don't know what you're going to walk out of this service thinking about this message. And really, it doesn't matter what I think that you think. Because see, God's trying to get that worked up out of me. Because I stay awake at night wondering what everybody thinks about every little detail. Did I pick the right paint color? Did I do this? Did I do that? Are they offended? That's too much. If you don't get nothing out of this service other than this, I want you to, when you walk out of that door and your foot hits that pavement out there, you know what I want you to remember? God cares about me so much. Whatever feeling I'm feeling, it's not a fact, and I'm going to brush it off, and I'm going to realize God's got a victory for me. Amen? And so it says here, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. There are things that we do and things that we get wrapped up in, and I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you bearing the kind of fruit that's going to last? Are you bearing fruit that's going to last? What I have learned about fruit and vegetables is this right here. If you get strawberries, if I get strawberries on Wednesday, Miss Virginia, I got to move them. And raspberries and all of that, those things got to go. Because if they don't go, they're going to rot tomorrow. There you go. Well, we can't do that. We're on Facebook Live. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not that kind of pastor that I... Look here, I'm very down to earth. I'm not a judgmental person. You drink all the wine you want to and don't get drunk on it, all right? And, so, anyways, I know. If anybody's offended over that, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to have to get over that. My gosh, don't be so uptight. Lord have mercy. We don't need a bunch of uptightness going on, do we? Isn't life hard enough? You can't laugh up in here. This is not going to be good for you. Okay, I'm not going to be good for you. You're going to have to laugh. But you need to be bearing fruit that's going to last. If there's some stuff in your life that ain't lasting, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Why? Because it's going to rot in your lap. It's going to rot in your lap. You don't want that. What did we read? God says that you're the head and not the tail. What do you got to do to be the head? You got to bear fruit that's going to last. We all got stuff going on in our lives. Let me tell you, did God ordain it? If he did, great. If he didn't, you best get rid of it. Okay? Let's go on now to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 4 through 10. And it says here, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There are things about your life that God prepared in advance for you. Know that. When you feel like you can't make it, God prepared you a way out. Last place for me, 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You belong. You belong. Feelings are not facts. God says that you're chosen. God says that you're chosen. God says that you're called. He appointed you. There are things that he has prepared for you, and he prepared them in advance. There's no way that what God has for you, anybody can tamper with it. There's no way that there's not a victory. When the circumstance looks bleak, stop looking at it. Regain your focus. Y'all stand to your feet. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you, God, that your word has fallen on good ground. And Lord, I praise you for everything that you're doing. Lord, every heart that you're turning around right now. Lord, every situation, every battle, every struggle. God, every heart that's broken. Lord, I thank you right now, God, that you're turning it around. Lord, every financial problem that anybody in here faces in here right now, Lord, I ask that you turn it around. God, every sickness, Lord, I ask that you'd heal it, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, and help us. Help us to know what we mean to you, dear Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Miss Keisha, if you'll go in there, we've got some chicken and some blueberries.